Today is the 18th of November 2015. I'm interviewing Janet Shaw Trotty about the life and times of growing up in the village of Havelock North and Hastings, and also her long years in the music industry in Hawke's Bay. Janet, would you like to tell me something about your family, where they came from, and so forth?
Yes, I would like to do that. My mum and dad, my father came from Scotland, and he went to Tikawiti to help on the farm there, milking cows and doing what you do on a farm, and that's where he met my mum. She was a Kiwi, a big family. I think there were seven altogether, and from a very musical family. Auntie Grace was one of the daughters, and she came down to Havelock, and she was working as a nurse. She was very qualified in the nursing field, and so she helped run the home up Duart Road.
Right, was that Duart?
Yes, Duart Hospital. When she started there, she obviously said to Mum, come on down here, it's great. So right. That's what happened. Mum and Dad both came down here, and Nigel was born.
And so what did your father do when he came to Havelock then?
We're not quite sure, but I think he was just a handyman. He was a builder, but he just managed to get odd jobs and that sort of thing.
The village then was only a little wee village with not many people, and you had to take on whatever work you could.
That's right. Well, they first went to Joel's, Stan Joel, and they were in a playroom beside their house, and we lived in, well, I don't know if it was me, but definitely Nigel would have been born, and he might have been raised those first couple
was
of years.
Was that in Joel Road?
No, that was in Middle Road.
Along from where you eventually had your home.
I don't know how long they were there, but then they bought the old post office, the original post office in Middle Road.
And was that the house that you lived in?
Right up against, butted onto the footpath, it was. Mum was always frightened of a fire being lit by some yahoo going past. So she took down a lovely looking veranda thing that was there, much to my brother's dismay. But yeah, and then of course next door we had our lovely garden, and then we had Mr. Given with the blacksmith right next door to us.
Mm-hmm. So there was only Joel's. What was beyond Joel's? There was a paddock there, wasn't
there? No, the paddock was earlier, before the actual borough council. There's a big paddock in there. But after Joel's, there was lots of houses.
Until you got down to the old Nimmin homestead.
Yes, well, the bridge was before that.
And so you were born in the village, and you went to school, no doubt.
Tomato Road.
Havelock North Primary School. And what was that like those days?
It was pretty tough in a way. Well, I thought it was. Miss Crombie was the Iron Lady. But she probably did us a lot of good in those beginnings.
I remember Eileen Crombie. She certainly had the iron hand. Out of all the teachers that I remember and respect, it was Eileen Crombie for her discipline and support. We used to think she was old and grumpy, but she would have only been in probably early 40s.
I know. Yes, that's quite right. And then there was Mr. Black.
Yes,
he was our
form teacher.
Yeah, and then there was Mr. White. He was the headmaster. They used to help me even in those days, Mr. Black did. He'd ask me to write things down in music for the class, so he probably could see a little potential coming along there.
He was a good man. Mr. White was too.
Oh, he was
great. We were really lucky. So you went to school, and you obviously played basketball those days. And when did you start your music lessons then?
Well, about that time I went to a Miss Fox up Duart Road and got my grade one with her. I don't remember a thing about it except the piano, where it was, and what she gave me to eat. But I've got the certificate to prove that I did do grade one with only a pass, but it was a start. And then I think she must have passed away. And Mum said, you're going now to the convent in Hastings. I thought, oh, please, no. Anyway, that's where I went, and I had this wonderful music teacher, Sister Gonzaga, who I totally loved. She was absolutely gorgeous to me. And so I got through from grade one, started with her two, and went up to grade eight. Tried for my letters twice, missed by 3 marks. Well, that's it. You know, I'd done enough of that one.
And obviously you went to high school.
Oh, yes.
So what did you...
I just did a general course because I had in my mind that we had to have an apprenticeship. And so both Elaine and I, my sister and I, went to a dressmaker. I went to Mademoiselle Bignon in Hastings.
That sounds pretty posh.
Well, it wasn't really. It's where the actual police station is now.
Yes, they
took me down her house. But she was a lovely old lady. We had about six or eight people in that huge room. We were allowed music there, which suited me fine to do our sewing with. And then she retired, and then I went to Miss Grant, who lived down King Street. It was a tiny wee room, no music. But that didn't suit me too well.
So music at that stage, obviously, was very much a part of your life. Were you always classical?
Or? No, because my brother, Nigel, he liked the modern music. My dad did not like it and he'd say, turn off that rubbish. We don't want to be listening to that rubbish. Bing Crosby. But I was asked to play for the extras at the Premier Hall and I'd get in for free and I got, I think, paid 10 shillings for playing the extras. And I was so frightened that Sister would find out what I was doing.
Yes.
She did, and I thought, this will be the curtains for me. But no, she didn't seem to mind. So that was one of my real luxury things that happened to me.
So whose band was playing at the Premier those days?
It'd be Les Culver. He was wonderful to me. He needn't have, but he got me up. Every time there was the extras coming on, he'd always call me up to the piano.
Yes, yes.
And my girlfriend said, you played that too fast. I thought, oh, well, they could have just danced.
A bit quicker.
Or slow down their steps to get in with
me.
But no, it was a good learning curve for me. And even the people in the band now will say, I remember when you used to play for the Premier. Nice memories.
And so you carried on dressmaking and playing the piano. Were you still playing basketball at that stage?
No, we went on to indoor basketball. And so we had a team out in Havelock.
So where did you play basketball in Havelock? Not in the old St Luke's Hall?
No, but it was the baths were there. There was a little room at the back there. We met there, that's right.
Yes.
No, I think it was down in the village there somewhere.
Well, St Luke's was the only hall big enough to play indoor basketball in.
Wasn't St Luke's. Oh, I think we came into Hastings.
Oh,
don't know where.
Because the drill hall was in Hastings.
But it was definitely out at Havelock that I met Lee.
Yes.
He came in, I thought, oh, he looks a nice looking chappy. Hadn't seen him before.
Yes.
That's how I got to know Lee. So
right.
We had this nice combination of the men and the women sort of meeting their first romance.
So now Lee is coming into your life. Where did Lee come from? Was he born in
Hastings?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he was. They came from Whanganui, his mum and dad, and they had a florist right in Heritonga. They were sort of the poorer people, whereas the other were just a little bit upmarket. So they were the old-fashioned sort of style of bouquets and wreaths.
Sure. But, you know, they were probably on the cusp of the change and there were probably still lots of people who liked the old style. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It suited a certain type of person.
And so Lee, at that stage, what was he doing?
He was at Smith and Smith, and he learned his trade of cutting glass.
So he was a glazier by trade?
Yes, he was. And he met someone he was doing gardening with. He was a cricketer, because Lee was a good cricketer. Can't think of his name. But he went out gardening with him, so there was that sort of familiar...
He enjoyed the soil.
Yes, yeah. So when we got together, it was... pretty good.
Yes. And so did he carry on playing cricket after you were married?
Oh, yes, definitely. Couldn't
give
that up. No, it's just in his blood.
Yes.
He had to keep on going with that, which was fine.
It was interesting that he had green fingers because eventually, where did you first live when you were first married?
Actually here. We looked for a section
and
then Lee, I think, had ideas of building glass houses.
Yes.
And we did have a half-acre section here, so I think he had plans. And then our next-door neighbour said, do you want to buy our back section? Which we did. And then another one from Odlands, and we bought that as well.
So hence your little paddock at the back. So you've been here for all those years?
Yes, I know, time flies.
So then? you had some children. How many children did you and Lee have?
We had four girls. Four girls. We tried.
And are they all in New Zealand?
Oh, yes. Two are still in Hastings.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
Because they've been all over the world and, you know, in different ways. Julia went to London and she married Tony there. And she went to Tauranga when they came back to New Zealand, then went to Auckland. And I thought, oh, that's the end of them.
Yes.
Next thing, they came back here, which is wonderful. Yes. Catherine, she had enough of Hastings, so she went to Wellington. But every time she came back here, she said, I don't want to go back there. So in the end, she actually got a house over Whanganui Way, and she's bought that. She's still got it. Angela went to Auckland, still there. And Cheryl was dying to get to Australia, and she went there, and she's still there. They've each got two children except Catherine, boy and girl. Clever.
Is that right? During this period of time, you did a lot of piano playing, but you did play with some quite big bands. Would you like to tell me who you have played with?
Well, I joined Neil Totty, that's Lee's brother.
Yes.
He's a musician. He got me into the big band to
begin
with, and so I did a lot of playing with them. Owen Knight and Johnny Hale and another young guitarist, once we got going into a certain couple of dates, we just continued. We had a following of where to go, and it was just nice, light, dancey music that people really loved. That was wonderful as far as I was concerned.
And jazz, did you ever play?
Not really high class jazz, not like Neil. Neil's sort of more of a jazzy type. Well, I was just dance music, really.
Did you ever play for Ernie Rouse's band at all?
Well, that was a big thing.
Because originally, we first saw Ernie, he used to play at the premiere and places like that. And of course, it wasn't the big band those days.
No, it was just a little band. About that time, I think I started teaching here. I had actually started when I was in Havelock, just with the odd couple of pupils, and then I got a few more in Hastings. I used to bike round to their people's homes. Yeah, it would just seem to be easier.
So you started teaching before you were 21, obviously.
Oh, yes, definitely. I was probably teaching. I started when I was 12, actually. I had my first pupil when I was 12. I knew more than the pupil did, so that was a good start. But I wasn't doing anything serious.
That's 68 years ago.
Yeah, could be.
Yes.
No, it just developed, and I probably started in serious when we got married, just as an extra hobby.
And so you must have taught a lot of people over that time.
I've got people that say to me, oh, you taught my daughter, or you played it for my daughter's wedding.
Yes.
And I think, oh, did I? Because you don't really remember when they're all in their finery, and you see them afterwards, and you don't even recognise them. But no, I did. I played for lots of weddings.
So you must have had some memorable things you played at. Concerts?
No, I didn't really like playing concerts.
Yes.
I didn't like getting up on the stage. I liked to be on the floor. And if I was up on the stage, I felt, I don't know, there's just something about being on a stage that is so different from being amongst all the people.
Well, like, you're saying that you knew your place.
Yeah, could be.
You had a comfort zone and you didn't like being out of it.
Yes, I could talk to the people right next to me if they're dancing. You could wave to them, say hi, you know, rest of it. I wasn't a grumpy person.
Yes. So that must have been very rewarding, I guess, with four girls. What time span were they? All under 10?
There were 2 years between Angela and Cheryl, then 4 years between... The next one was Catherine, and then 2 years between...
So you had a house full of young...
Yes, girls, yes.
Plus all these people coming to learn the piano.
Mm.
But it must have been quite fulfilling doing something you enjoyed.
Oh, yes, it was.
And how did you keep the children quiet when you were teaching the piano, though? Were they very well-behaved
children?
Well,
wouldn't say that, but I do think they played a lot down on a tree down there. We heard all sorts of stories back.
Sure.
Once we brought that next section over,
they
used to get down there and play and do all sorts of things. But we had the glass houses, of course.
So when did he build the glass houses?
Yes,
so
Nigel, my brother, helped. Actually, Nigel helped build his house. He was absolutely a fantastic brother. Yeah, he and some other chap, he built first glass house.
Because Lee would have been able to glaze it, wouldn't he?
Because
he was a glazier.
He was a glazier. All helped.
It's interesting, isn't it, how life unfolds and He became a tomato grower and other things.
His father wanted him to grow flowers, but that was not in these. You can't eat flowers,
no, you've
got to have something you're going to eat. So we had cucumbers, beans. We did a great lot of bean growing here. We started the bean crops going around here, and they were very lucrative. And then we grow potatoes, and we just sell at the gate, put the sign out there.
Is the sign frame still up there?
No,
after all those years?
Yes, well, the sign's in the shed. I'd like to put it up somewhere.
But it always showed us where your house was, because the sign was there, even if it didn't have tomatoes on it.
People at our meet in town say, oh, we used to buy tomatoes off it. They were best tomatoes in Hastings.
I know. So then Lee was still playing cricket while he was growing tomatoes.
And he umpired hockey. He was a good hockey player.
Oh, was he? Okay.
And then he went on to umpiring games. So he was a good, fair type of referee, they told me.
Well, he had the experience of playing the games as well, didn't he?
But he found that later on the girls were getting as violent or a bit naughty, and so he gave it up. He said, they're getting too tough for me.
So then I guess your children were growing up, becoming teenagers, and you're still playing the piano, and Lee was still at sport, but then he had a heart attack, was it?
Yes. And he had leukemia. He had a real trouble with his blood. He had to be having that constantly checked and put into hospital for various reasons. That was the start of things not going well for him.
And of course, he was such a fit man with his sports, and you think, how could this happen?
I know. Unbelievable. Mm. Even now, you think, why?
Even although he may not have felt well, he never looked unwell. He had a good front.
And
always.
He had a wonderful sense of humour. Yes. He had this memory of jokes that used to just spin them off like this. And I could tell you a few, but I won't, because they're always on the naughty side, but great storyteller in that he was the quietest person, really. That was his nature. But to reel him out.
Did you two do any travelling at all?
No, Lee didn't like travelling. No, our longest journey used to be going down to Wellington to see my cousin. And he might go to Auckland, but nothing more than that. I went to England when Julie was over in England, and we went to France, of all places, and then to Barbados. Well, that was when they got married, that they decided, Julie and Tony, they'd get married in Barbados. So I had to be the one to give her away, because Lee didn't want to go. He wasn't well, so he didn't want to go. So that all happened at that time.
So then your children have got married and flown the coop. Lee wasn't well, and then you sold off the glass house block. And it wasn't that long after that that Lee passed away, was it?
No, was about that time.
Yeah, and that was a very sad day for you and the family.
Oh, shocking. You're still really trying to come to terms with it in a way.
So what year was that now? How many years do you think, approximately?
I should know it just like that, shouldn't I? But I'll have to think about that.
You've retired totally from music teaching.
Yes, I have, yes.
When did you retire? How many years ago?
About 8 years ago, about that.
So that means you actually taught for about 60 years
as a
music teacher.
Oh, I can't believe
that. But you just imagine how many people that you've brought sunshine into their lives.
I hope I've helped their music talents, definitely. My girls all learnt music, but they haven't got much to show for it. It's just something that either sticks with you and you want to do something with it or not. I used to take Julia, our youngest. I took her on a couple of jobs, and she didn't take to it at all. And everyone loved her.
Yes.
She was playing guitar, and I played piano. It was good little thing.
Yes.
And no, not for her. She wanted to get out with her friends.
There's pleasure in playing.
I used to love it. Well, I used to bounce around and dance with my feet on the ground, and everyone would say, well, look at Janet's feet. But, you can't help when you get a good bit of rhythm going.
So since Lee has passed away, you've got your grandchildren. You said you've got each of your girls and new son-in-laws. They've got one of each.
Yes, yes.
And,
very clever, weren't they?
Here you are, still in the house that you built.
We built on that room out the back there that got built later years, and that's been a real asset to the house.
And so anything else? You don't play bowls?
I go to play badminton. I play twice a week.
At the YM.
Yes. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, Norm Spears used to play at
But he didn't stay very long. No. He wasn't a...
Regular.
No, he didn't stay long. No, that's been wonderful for me.
Yes.
I do love it, yeah, because there are a lovely lot of people there that you get to know. Mm. I love that.
Because I played there for a while. This is when Bill Cummins and...
Did you play badminton?
I used to play in Havelock at St. Luke's originally, and then I didn't play long at the YM. I used to go along with Norman, actually, and he was a friend of Bill Cummins.
The secret is to know how to serve, and I read it from a book, because I wouldn't have had a clue how to serve, and I can get a real good serve in there that people aren't ready for. So that's the answer. And move your feet as much as you can.
So anything else? You've never written music?
No. In fact, my mum used to say to me, stop playing that inane music. Huh? And that's what she meant. Yes. You know, just going nowhere.
So what about, do you go to movies? Yes, you went to see The Dressmaker, didn't you?
Very disappointed. Parts of the dressmaking, what they did with the outfits was very clever.
Yes.
But no, I didn't enjoy it as a film.
Is there anything on that list of yours that we've forgotten?
Maybe something here. I didn't think when I had my bridesmaid coming this morning, I was bridesmaid for 7 people.
Before you were married?
Before I was married. One of those was a matron of honour. But I think it was because I could dressmake. I think it had something to do with me being asked to do that.
Yes. So as a dressmaker, you did wedding gowns and everything?
No, I didn't sew for other people. I did a lot of altering and that sort type of thing. But I can still turn my hand to something. If something wants to be done, I'll do it. I like that side of things. Being able to, now people just go and buy a dress. But in those days, we just used to sew. Sew for the show, new dress for the show every year.
All right. Well, look, I think that's really given us a nice picture of what it was like growing up in the village and the talents that some of our local people have. Thank you, Janet. That was lovely.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is an addendum to the previous interview we've just completed. Now, Janet, one thing I'm not sure whether you said, when you were teaching music, you actually got on your bike with your music and you went from house to house to your pupils.
Yes, I did.
Which I think it was very admirable. It used to be the other way around once, but now... Coming back to your 80th birthday, and I think we should finish on a nice note, you said that you got this surprise visit from your family. The girls came in with ukuleles, singing your 80th birthday. It's 7 years since Lee passed away. The family gathering in the big room at the back with the piano and everything set up for dancing.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a really neat way to finish everything off.
It was fantastic. Yes. It really was. They came in playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow and singing it as well. And one little grandchild, she was standing there playing it as well. I just couldn't believe it. It was such a lovely surprise.
Yes.
Lovely finish to the whole evening. It was just beautiful.
And so you're looking forward to the next 25 years?
No, I'm looking forward to the next 5 years. I'll go that far ahead. That's about it. No, not much more than that. And then I'll tell you more in 5 years' time.
Okay, Janet, I'll come back and get the rest of the story.
Good on you.
Okay.
Okay.